My Facebook conversation with another progressive. Last week, IFI published a conversation I had with two progressives in the hope that it may be helpful to IFI readers in their discussions with progressive neighbors, colleagues, friends, and family members. Over the weekend, another progressive Facebook dissenter, Zach Peterson, picked up where Melanie Silver left off. Well, she did find a moment to post a homosexual emoji on our Facebook page. Peterson employed arguments different from those Silver employed, though equally commonplace and weak. And I quote Zach Peterson, "To answer your question, the LGBT agenda is harmful because it destigmatizes LGBTQ people, basically. That's their position. That's the position Lori described in the rant she composed addressing these comments." I responded, "How do my points constitute a rant while Melanie's do not?" Second, as is common with most progressives, you have conflated volitional acts with people. Third, yes, I think it's problematic for societies to destigmatize homoerotic activity, just as I think it's problematic for societies to destigmatize consensual incestuous activity, zoophiliac activity, that is bestiality, adultery, bondage, discipline, sadomasochistic activity, and polyamory. But arguing that a healthy society maintains sexual boundaries is not an argument for vilifying or mistreating those who choose to violate those boundaries. Zach responded, "And those are exactly the kind of false equivalencies typical of hateful right-wing nut jobs." I said, "Hateful? How so? What specifically did I say that's hateful? It is no more intrinsically hateful to claim that homoerotic activity is immoral than it is to claim that those other forms of love or erotic activity are immoral. I don't hate people because of the beliefs they hold about sexual morality or because of the choices they make about the types of relationships they pursue or erotic acts they engage in. By the way, it sounds very much like you are judging, and judging harshly, consensual adult, incestuous love, polyamory, adultery, zoophilia, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, and conservatives. I thought progressives vigorously opposed judgmentalism and name-calling." Zach responded, "Right, right. It's not the people, it's the activity. Except the people engaged in the activity say it's not a choice, it's not a lifestyle, and it's not just an activity. It's an orientation as natural to them as yours is to you. I know, you don't believe that, and you have lots of funny little anecdotes about people who choose to stop doing gay and the lack of a gay gene. Great, pat yourself on the back, you earned it. But if sexual intercourse between same-sex partners is an unnatural perversion, why is it so common in non-human species? And why, from a rational, genetic, non-faith perspective, would it not follow that it's naturally occurring phenomenon in humans as well? See, Lori, you're proposing a false dichotomy in order to claim that you hate the sin but love the sinner, which is patronizing and arrogant in its own right, but I digress. In reality, there's no neat separation. There is, however, an abundance of scientific evidence that indicates it isn't a choice. So vilifying the act is, in fact, vilifying the person, which makes you just another hateful old bigot. So no, I'm not judging incestuous, zoophilic, polyamorous, BDSM harshly. I'm judging the mean-spirited fake Christians who would equate homosexual love with sexual deviance." I responded, trying to respond to each of his points. One, homosexuals do not choose their attractions or feelings, but they most certainly do choose their behavioral responses to those unchosen feelings. What do you mean when you use the word natural? If you mean powerful, persistent, and unchosen, is it your claim that any and all attractions or feelings are automatically moral to act upon if they're powerful, persistent, and unchosen? Two, I've never used the word lifestyle. Three, I do know people who have chosen to remain celibate because they know that it's immoral to act on their unchosen homoerotic attractions. I know people who have identified as homosexual and have been involved in homoerotic relationships with persons they deeply loved, but subsequently left those relationships and now are in happy heterosexual relationships, for example, Rosaria Butterfield. I know people who identify as homosexual and generally are attracted to persons of their same sex, but have fallen in love with one person of the opposite sex, and that love has generated erotic attraction to that one person. 4. Of course, you and I both know there is no gay gene, and you likely know that homosexual scholars increasingly believe that sexual orientation is not fixed, but fluid. They now argue that though it's fluid, persons have no agency in affecting its direction. We'll see how long progressives will be able to cling to that dogmatic claim. How long will it take before this claim is refuted, just as the claims that homosexuals constitute 10% of the population and that homosexuality is, in all cases, fixed, have been refuted? 5. You take your morality cues from the animal kingdom? Yikes! Animals eat their poop, eat their sexual partners, are promiscuous, engage in polygyny, engage in incest, kill the babies of sexual competitors, and excrete publicly. I guess from your perspective, all these should be naturally occurring phenomena in humans as well. Humans experience all sorts of powerful, persistent, unchosen feelings. Our task as moral beings is to figure out which of these myriad unchosen feelings are morally legitimate to act upon. Since we're not animals, we ought not take our cues from the animal kingdom. And science can tell us what is, what exists. Science tells us nothing, however, about the morality of volitional behavior. 6. In this wildly diverse world, it is entirely possible to hate beliefs and volitional behaviors without hating people. Most humans do it regularly. We have friends, family members, neighbors, and colleagues who believe things we find wrong and destructive. They do things we believe are wrong and destructive, and yet we love them deeply. Perhaps you're unable, Zach, to love those who believe and do things of which you disapprove, but you ought not project onto others your habits of mind. And 7, believing homoerotic activity is immoral. No more constitutes hatred of persons who engage in it than does believing that consensual adult incest, polyamory, or zoophilia are immoral constitute hatred of persons who engage in those behaviors. It's important to reinforce that point. It is my hope that these conversations may help IFI readers feel better equipped and therefore more willing to engage in this kind of debate with the progressives in their lives. For now, our First Amendment right to speak freely is protected. We should use it while we can.